The name Florence Harding doesn't usually leap to mind as one of the 20th century's most popular first ladies. Yet in 1922, when Mrs. Harding's kidneys failed and she lay near death, Saturday matinees at theaters across the country were interrupted by prayer sessions for her recovery, and thousands of people jammed onto the grounds of the White House to hold a vigil for her. Florence Harding miraculously bounded back from that attack of kidney failure, and through the efforts of biographer Carl Shafraza Anthony, she's now bounding back from obscurity. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review of the new biography, Florence Harding.
According to the old saw, behind every great man stands a great woman. But what happens when a great, or more precisely, an exceptional woman, stands behind a loser? Well, if history's treatment of First Lady Florence Harding is anything to generalize from, the woman, no matter how dazzling her attributes, will be blotted out by the dim gray mediocrity of a man teetering in front of her. Warren G. Harding's only claim to distinction is that most historians would probably rank him as the worst president this country ever had. An inept chief executive whose administration was riddled with corruption, the sickly Harding devoted much of his limited energy to guzzling bootlegged booze and seducing any maiden who wandered onto his radar screen. "It is a good thing I am not a woman," President Harding once joked to reporters. "I would always be pregnant. I cannot say no." Ah, the good old boy days. Even back then, however, the accumulated weight of Harding's offenses would surely have crushed him had he not conveniently died in office in 1923. When Florence married Warren back in 1891, she thought she was hitching her wagon to a star. Instead, she shackled herself to a quick-burning bit of space debris. But in his new biography called Florence Harding, Carl Shafraza Anthony has leapt to the rescue, blowtorch in hand, ready to set Florence free from the embarrassing Warren and reintroduce her to readers as an icon of the first modern, proto-feminist First Lady. She certainly was an unusual woman for her time. Florence's father, a well-to-do businessman, raised his firstborn child to be the boy he'd wanted. Growing up in Marion, Ohio, during the 1860s and 70s, she rode horses, clerked in her father's hardware store, and received a classical education. She also received a crash course in the facts of life when she became pregnant at the age of 20 by a neighbor, Henry DeWolf. Florence and Henry lived together for a couple of years in a common law marriage. When he deserted her, she supported herself and her son by giving music lessons. Eventually, Florence's own father informally adopted the boy, leaving her free to chase down an already engaged younger man, Warren G. Harding. Incredibly, the American public never knew of First Lady Florence's early fall into sin. The existence of her son, and by then her grandchildren, was a well-kept secret. Anthony describes how the Hardings' marriage, from its earliest days, defied convention. When Warren suffered a couple of nervous breakdowns and checked into Dr. Kellogg's famous Battle Creek Sanitarium, Florence took over as the business manager of the newspaper he owned. She never wore a wedding ring, declaring, "I don't like badges." By many accounts, Florence was the engine that propelled a wishy-washy Warren into politics. And once she became First Lady, she busied herself with veterans' affairs, animal rights, and suffragist causes. According to biographer Anthony, Florence also pioneered the use of Hollywood stars as campaign tools, and like Nancy Reagan, relied on astrologers to chart her and Warren's actions. In his effort to rescue Florence Harding from the ashes, Anthony unearths a wealth of jazzy anecdotes that make his comprehensive biography as lively as a night at one of Warren's stag parties. Granted, sometimes Anthony strains himself, claiming too much for Florence. Her nice practice of shaking hands with black kitchen help doesn't exactly put her in the same class as Eleanor Roosevelt when it comes to civil rights activism. But as Anthony convincingly demonstrates, if Florence was no Eleanor, neither was she just a distaff Warren Harding. When I closed this biography, I heard the same phrase echoing in my head that I always hear when I meet certain couples. What is an interesting woman like that doing with a dud like him?
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed a new biography of Florence Harding by Carl Shafraza Anthony.